Hello and welcome to South Asia Chat, brought to you by the Institute of South Asian Studies at the National University of Singapore. I'm your host, Nitya Subramanian, an editor at the Institute. Recently, Israel and the United Arab Emirates signed a peace agreement which normalizes relationship between the two countries in the Middle East. Concurrently, the former has also agreed to suspend plans for annexing parts of the West Bank. This agreement normalizes what had long been informal but robust foreign relations between the two countries. Pakistan has maintained that it would not recognize Israel until the Palestinians are given their own state. To gain more insights into Pakistan's position on the Abraham Accord and in the Muslim world, we have with us Ambassador Riaz Khokar. Ambassador Riaz is a former diplomat who served as the Foreign Secretary of Pakistan from June 2002 to February 2005. He also served as Pakistan's ambassador to India, the United States, China, and Bangladesh before taking up the top position at the Foreign Ministry. Thank you, Ambassador Riaz, for joining us today. I'd like to start by asking you what Prime Minister Imran Khan said about the recent Abraham Accord. He said that his government would not recognize Israel until the Palestinians are given their own state. How do you think this position would impact Pakistan's relations with the United Arab Emirates in particular and other Gulf Arabs in general?
Prime Minister Imran Khan has stated Pakistan's long-standing historical principled position on Palestine. Actually, our position on Palestine predates our independence. In 1940, the Muslim League in Lahore had passed a resolution totally and unanimously supporting the Palestinian cause. And then subsequently, Qaid-e-Azam Muhammad Ali Jinnah in 48, and then of course our position on the Palestine issue in the United Nations, in the OIC, at all forums has been consistent. Pakistan has not flagged even for a second in regard to our position on Palestine. The principal reason is there are very important principles involved. The principle of the right of self-determination, which of course is very important for Pakistan for its own issues with a neighbor. So Imran Khan has stated the position very clearly. We are totally supportive of all the UN resolutions, the OIC resolutions. We are for the two-state solution. So he has not stated anything unique. Secondly, it would not affect our relations with the UAE. We have an extremely brotherly and, shall we say, excellent multifaceted relationship with the UAE. We have not criticized them by stating our own position. We have indicated our position in regard to the Palestine issue. So I don't think it will affect our, because we have a very close relationship with the UAE.
So there was a time, when Pakistan under Parvez Musharraf reportedly considered having diplomatic ties with Israel after India warmed up to Tel Aviv. So is that debate now dead? I mean, from what you're saying, Pakistan has held to its old position, to its long position.
Well, President Musharraf was interested in establishing some contacts with Israel. In 2005, or rather four, he had what you call a bump-in meeting with the Israeli Prime Minister at the World Economic Forum. It was arranged, of course, it was all choreographed, but it was just described as a bump-in meeting. So they had a good chat. And then, of course, as you know, our Foreign Minister, Mr. Khurshid Kasuri, met the Israeli foreign minister in, I think it was Ankara or Istanbul, and arranged by our Turkish friends. They had a good discussion. I can tell you that when I was foreign secretary, I had established contacts with my counterpart in Israel, And we met what we called informal, casual meetings in New York. And quite honestly, we had good discussions, and we had assured the Israelis that we do not regard Israel as an enemy of Pakistan. Our position is only principled. Secondly, there was this, you know, general concern about Pakistan's nuclear program. As you know, at one time, our nuclear program was called the Islamic bomb, which was absolutely ridiculous, because bombs don't have religion, and your bomb in India is not called the Hindu bomb or the Christian bomb or whatever. So we made it very clear to them that our nuclear program is not against Israel. So that was the second thing. And thirdly, we told them that, you know, recognition is a problem for Pakistan. You know, we are an important Islamic country, but we don't want to be among the first few who would like to recognize Israel. And there are complications, because recognition of Israel is a serious domestic issue in Pakistan. So I think the Israelis understand that. And if other countries are establishing relations with them, good for them. They are sovereign countries. But, you know, I just want to say something about the Gulf countries. Gulf countries, as you know, their security entirely depends on the United States. And at the moment, President Trump, as you know, is very desperate. He has not had very many, in fact, none. No serious foreign policy success. So he's looking for trophies. He was looking for a trophy in Afghanistan, and it's still in the works. We don't know whether he'll be able to get that trophy. Good luck to him if he gets it. But I think this Israel UAE deal is essentially a transactional deal choreographed by Washington in order to improve Trump's prospects in the coming elections. So I think it's... and then please don't forget, all Arab countries, all Gulf countries have had long-standing clandestine relationships with Israel. I mean, I'm totally aware of it. So I can tell you that this is not... I wasn't shocked or surprised that UAE had taken this step. So it's a transactional thing. And the very fact that they are going to be announcing this eventually, the champagne will be opened in Washington. So I think it's very clear. I don't know if other countries will follow. Initially, of course, some countries have welcomed it in the Gulf, but they have also now started taking very cautious positions. Saudi Arabia, for instance, has taken a very cautious position, and so have others. So let's see how it works out eventually.
But Pakistan's close allies, Turkey and Iran, have also criticized this agreement. So you think this agreement will speed up the process for the creation of a new regional non-Arab Islamic alliance?
No, I don't think so. Because, you know, we, for instance, Pakistan has very good, strong bilateral relations with Iran. We have strong brotherly bilateral relations with Turkey. I don't think an alliance is a very strong word, you know, it has very serious implications. It's like, you know, NATO is an alliance, and there's an Article 5. So there is no such thing between Pakistan and Iran. There's no such thing between Pakistan and Turkey. I'm sure there's none between Turkey and Iran. So I think this whole talk about alliances is kind of, you know, it's a media, you know, they like to talk about these things. I think it's fun for them. So I don't think that's in the offing. You know, OIC consists of 57 Islamic countries, of which the Arab countries are, only 400 million out of 1.8 billion Muslims. So 3/4 of the Islamic world is non-Arab. But of course, these countries are important. Saudi Arabia is important. It's a country which is respected. I mean, there are very strong religious relationships, historical, political. And as far as Pakistan is concerned, we have a very multi-layered relationship with Saudi Arabia.
But recently, Pakistan's Army Chief General Bajwa had to visit Saudi Arabia ostensibly to smoothen ties after Foreign Minister Shah Mahmood Qureshi criticized the OIC for not denouncing India's action in Kashmir. What in your view, was the outcome of this visit by the Army Chief? Do you see the current crisis in Saudi-Pak relations as a crisis or just a storm in the teacup?
No, I won't use the word crisis at all. As I said, our relationship with Saudi Arabia is very, very, very deep. Historical, political, and religious. And apart from that, we have a very deep security relationship with Saudi Arabia. So Army Chief Bajwa's visit was basically to discuss the security issues, military relationship. You know, we have forces in Saudi Arabia, I think maybe almost 2 brigades. And in various occasions, Pakistan has sent forces to Saudi Arabia. You know, the Gulf War and then, of course, the... But we also took a position. If you recall, Pakistan did not accept joining Saudi Arabia and UAE on the Yemen crisis. We don't want to get involved in intra-Arab disputes. That's Pakistan's position. We burnt our fingers in 1956 when Pakistan joined France and Britain to be critical of the Suez Canal crisis. And the Arabs have not forgotten that. So we are very, very cautious, very sensitive about that aspect. So I wouldn't call that a crisis. And I think Imran has made a statement only a few days ago that our relationship with Saudi Arabia is free of any wrinkles. And similarly, the foreign minister has made a statement yesterday at the parliament. So, the monarchs, these sheikhs and these monarchs, they're a little sensitive. I mean, there's no democracy in those countries. So they do react, but it does not fundamentally alter Pakistan's relationship with Saudi Arabia.
So now, given India's welcome to the UAE-Israel deal and the general warming ties with the Gulf Arabs, what are the prospects of the OIC pushing India on Kashmir?
Well, you know, India and these Gulf countries are welcome to establish whatever relationships they wish to. We have absolutely no, and we are in no position to condition that. But as far as OIC is concerned, there are institutions within the OIC that take care of the Kashmir issue, and they take positions, they issue statements, etc. But you know, in the ultimate analysis, it's not a question of relying on the OIC. Every country has its own interests, diverse interests, and we do expect them to take positions, because Pakistan has been the most fervent supporter of Arab causes. Every single Arab cause, Pakistan has been very supportive. So, I mean, if they have their interests, etc., we understand. So, I don't even want to use the word pushing, because it's not a diplomatic word. So I would say that we leave it to their judgment. And I think the next Islamic summit, which is going to be in Niger, it was supposed to be held, I think, a few months ago, but because of the COVID, etc., it has been postponed. So Pakistan will make its position very clear in the summit. And we don't mince our words when it comes to our position on our relations with India, or our position on the issue of Jammu and Kashmir.
And finally, I'd like to ask you, as China's stakes in the Muslim world rise, do you think Pakistan could be an important partner for Beijing?
Pakistan has been China's most excellent partner in various fields. And our relationship is very strong, very solid. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I don't want to make any tall claims, but I think we did encourage China to look at the Muslim world. And China is now a global player. It's a very, very important big power in Asia. It's got interests now in this BRI and, CPAC. Please look at the map, and you see that Pakistan is situated, and we provide the geographical contiguity to China with the Arab world, and also with Iran and Turkey and Central Asian countries. So we are very happy that China is developing very good relationships with the Arab countries, with Iran, I think their relationship is really thriving. So we welcome that. We see it this way, that it can only have a positive impact on Pakistan. We would welcome our Arab friends. We would welcome Iran, Turkey, all of them to, if they want to, they'd be very warmly welcome to join the CPEC. Similarly, Afghanistan, who is a brotherly country next door, and I hope Afghanistan settles down very quickly and they have durable peace. So we are looking at it from that point of view. So China has made the right decisions, very pragmatic foreign policy. They don't mess around in the Middle East like the Americans do. They have not invaded any country. So from all points of view, if I am not mistaken, the Muslim countries, the Arab countries, Iran, Turkey, they're all very happy with their newfound relationship with China. And China matters a lot, certainly in Asia, and certainly as a global player.
Thank you, Ambassador Riaz. That was a very interesting conversation with you. You gave us a lot of interesting perspectives as well. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much, and best wishes to both of you. Wonderful speaking to you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. You were listening to South Asia Chat. To learn more about our work, visit us at isas.nus.edu.sg.